In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen. Put those hands together for the Lord. Lamb for Jesus. Amen. Please be seated in God's presence. Welcome to 2021, your year of supernatural turnaround. Then expect turnaround to become your new identity from henceforth. Amen and amen. I'd like to welcome you to this second service. And I'm very sure that God is reaching out to someone in a big way in this service. In Jesus' mighty name. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Someone say that loud and clear. Understanding pathways to godliness, part 4. Understanding pathways to godliness. Among other things, we've looked at the cost of ungodliness. I will just continue from there. What are the costs of ungodliness? Number one is ungodliness blocks access to supernatural breakthroughs. It blocks access to supernatural breakthrough. God has ordained breakthrough for us, and one of the hindrances to breakthroughs is ungodliness. But the part of the just is as a shining light, the Bible says, and it shines more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. The part of the just is as light. The way of the wicked is as darkness. And you know when it's dark, you know, dark and light enhances speed. When it's dark, you are careful, and at times you even avoid a journey. You avoid driving in the dark. You know, so light paves the way for breakthrough, for advancement. He said, put away, verse 24, from you a froward mouth and perverseness, let it put it far from you. And verse 27 said, turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove your foot from evil. Because if the foot placed in evil, you know, cannot go far. So righteousness grants us supernatural breakthrough. Number two, it destroys destiny. It destroys destiny. And one major form of ungodliness, like we looked at in the first service, is pride. Pride. And pride, the Bible says, goes before a fall. When you see someone that is proud, then that person is on the highway to falling. Pride is you elevating yourself, not knowing that you are going downwards. Because pride will always go before a fall. The Bible says, humble yourself and let God elevate you. Let God elevate you. Let God elevate you. You know, Jesus said, when you go into the meeting, when you go into a meeting, don't just go straight to the front. So that they don't tell you, you know what, come. He says, it's better that you go and sit somewhere. And now with honor and dignity, you are brought forward. And that just shows, you know, in other words, saying humble yourself, then God in due season will elevate you. Say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And when God lifts you up, man cannot bring you down. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up, Daniel chapter 4 from verse 30. He spake and said, is this not the great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Bible said, and while this was when in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O king, Nebuchadnezzar said, this kingdom is departed from you. In other words, you have lifted your heart above normal, necessary. Now God is taking this kingdom away from you. Herod also did the same, and God punished him. Number three, ungodliness blocks access to eternity with Christ. It blocks access to eternity with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. After all we have done on this earth, the ultimate is that when we leave this earth, that we reign with Christ in eternity. So we should not live on earth, you know, and forget totally that this is not permanent. USCIS gave you permanent residence. But the truth is that there's no permanent residence on earth. That's the truth. There's no permanent residence on earth. We all are here temporarily. And at some point, after a good old age or rapture, whichever comes first, we all will leave earth and will live in eternity. and eternity is split into two. There's life eternal, and there are some that will burn in hell forever. And I pray from the depth of my heart that no one listening to me, no one in this sanctuary right now, will spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
Amen. But it's more than a prayer. It's what we do, how we live our choice here. He said, I bring unto you this day life and death. Remember that Deuteronomy 30:19, blessing and cursing. And as a good father, I now said, now choose life. So it's our choice here that determines where we'll spend eternity. God is neutral about that. It's what we choose or what we refuse to choose that will determine. So ungodliness blocks access to eternity in Christ. And if it blocks access to eternity in Christ, that means it opens the door. You know, the Bible says that in Matthew 7, it said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and in your name we cast out devils, and in your name we did many wonderful works. And he will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And in verse 13, he said, enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in there. He said, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Few. So the question is, are you among the few? There's an old school song that says, are you in the number? Are you in that number? It says few. So from that description, that means it's very easy to get on that that broad way. But he said, there is one that leads to life, and it is straight and narrow and few. So are you among that few? And it's your choice that determines if you will be listed among that few. If you understand, shout aloud, amen. Our anchor scripture for the month, 1 Timothy 4:8, it said, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life which now is, and of that which is to come. To the life which is now is, and also of the one which is to come. And we have to be very mindful of both, especially the one which is to come, which many have forgotten. Just straight is that way. Straight is that way. Straight and narrow is that way. And I pray again from the depth of my heart that every one of us will see in heaven when that time comes.
Amen.
What is the way out? Repentance. And repentance is the only acceptable requirement for forgiveness. The Bible says that he that covers his sin shall not prosper. He that covers his sin. You know, that's why the Bible says, Matthew 27 says, but we did many things in your name. He said, now depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity means they have covered a lot of things. They were walking. So we prophesied in your name. The gift and callings of God are without repentance. But they covered their sin. That's why I call them the workers of iniquity. So he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsake them shall have mercy. So when there's sin and mistake, you know, it's wise to come to God and to repent. Don't be deceived by gift or residue of an anointing working for you or in your life. Don't be deceived by gift. You know, someone can fornicate, come to church, still lead praise, and the whole place is shaky. Don't be deceived by that. Because the gift and calling of God are without repentance. So he that covers his sin will not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsake. That's why 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And we saw that when Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves condemned of men by him in Luke chapter 23. And one of them says, if you are Christ, save yourself and save us. Are you not Christ? We saw you. What an opportunity. If you are the Son of God, release yourself and release us. But the other one, he knew. He said, he rebuked him. He said, don't you fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? He said, for we are suffering what we did. We indeed justly, for we are receiving the rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And that means he was remorseful at that point. That, you know what, I've been wrong. Even though I didn't repent then, I was caught. Now I'm repentant after being caught. But he said, Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom. That was repentance right there. Then Jesus said to him, no, look at this prayer. Let's look at the Passion Translation. He said, I beg of you, the Passion. I beg of you, Jesus, show me grace and take me with you into your everlasting kingdom. He said, I beg of you, show me grace. Look for it in my note, please, TPT. Show me grace. So, show me grace. Show me grace. So, he knew he was wrong, and he came to Jesus genuinely. Jesus didn't bother, okay, how many people have you killed? How many people, things have you stolen? No. Jesus saw repentance. And he said, you know what? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Guess what? When we get to heaven, we'll see that guy. Even if he had killed people while he was stealing, he had committed murder, still he will be there. Because he showed genuine repentance. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you. When Jesus says verily, then you take note. Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Because he had genuine repentance. Amen. Genuine repentance. So what are the demands of godliness? Number one, crave for the Spirit, for the endowment of the Spirit of holiness. We looked at that in the first service. Number two, continue to engage the power of the blood of Jesus for rescue. We also looked at that in the first service. Number three, stop evil thoughts in order to stop evil acts. We must get rid of evil thoughts in order to stop what? Evil acts. The Bible says, for from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, and the rest. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That means actions are just byproducts of thoughts. Before you act, you must have thought about it. He said adultery. So before the action is the thought in the heart and every other form of sin. The thought. Before you came to church today, you imagined yourself in that clothes you were wearing. Before you picked it to iron it and to wear it, you had already imagined yourself in it. Then that led to action. The Bible says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. The Good News Version says, what he thinks is what he really is. What he thinks is what he really is. So we must pay attention to our thoughts. Now look at this. Your thoughts create your beliefs. Your beliefs create your convictions. Your convictions create your attitude. Your attitude controls your perception. And your perception dictates your behavior. So if you look at that cycle, it first begins with your thought and now ends up in your behavior. That's why you must pay close attention to your thought. Keep your heart with all diligence. The Bible says, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. So what kind of thoughts go on within you? Because it begins with a thought, and when the seed of thought grows, then it leads to action. And it works both positive and negative. It begins with a thought. That's why the Bible says that among other things, said we should cast down imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Cast down imagination. Imagination is a compound word from two words, image and formation. So when you form that image, it becomes imaginations. Just like I said, you know, before you put those clothes on, you had imagined yourself in them, maybe yesterday, last night, or you've been waiting for end of the month. That clothes, when I saw someone traveling, I told him to bring that. You've been waiting for end of the month, Thanksgiving. Amen. You have imagined yourself. Am I talking to someone? Who can relate to that? Amen. So imaginations, and imagination has a great deal on our character. Look at Genesis 11. You know, some people rose up and they said, you know what? We want to get to heaven. We'll get to heaven and want to see God. And in verse 6, the Bible says something. He said, and this they begin to do. This was God talking. And he said, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So imagination has great power. He said they have imagined it. They have formed this image. And now they are working hard towards what they have imagined to do. That's why evil imagination must be fought against. The Bible says casting them down. He was talking about our weapons of war. He said we should cast them down. Look, go to verse 4, please. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's why when evil thoughts cross your mind, you cast it down immediately. Because Satan can always introduce any evil imagination. You cast it out immediately by the blood of Jesus. Because if you allow that seed grow, I tell you, it will become actions. It will keep growing until one day you see yourself carrying out that action. And I pray that by the grace of God and by the power of the Almighty, every evil imagination is canceled right now. Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ. They are canceled right now and pulled down right now. Cast out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. It begins with imagination. Image formation, which leads to action. Instead, let's begin to imagine positive things. Imagine, okay, I want to get this. I want to buy this kind of house. I want to buy this. You know, begin to imagine. Begin to imagine great things instead of sinful things. When someone comes to sing on the altar, you see backwards, look at that sister. And begin to imagine evil things. Amen. Amen. Let's use it to imagine, oh girl, if I go to Newark, Broad Street, win 10 souls, I can imagine myself coming back with 20 souls. So that kind of imaginations that should be in our heart. If you understand, shout aloud. Amen. Amen. Today is also our covenant day of favor. Covenant day of favor. What is favor? Favor means preferential treatment. Preferential treatment. Look at Romans 9, 11 to 13. See what favor can do. He said, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called. If you understand that story, it was talking about, said the elder shall serve the younger. But that 11 says, you know, they had not been born. They have not done any good or evil. So favor is very, very powerful. So by God's favor, you can have preferential treatment. Not because of what you have done or what you have not done. Or not because you are just special. It's just that there is preferential treatment upon you. Preferential treatment. And that's what favor can do. And I pray that from today, you have preferential treatment. Look at Joseph, who was not the only son. But the dad just saw him and gave him a coat of many colors. And the brothers were angry. Why would he have this kind of preferential treatment? Let me say a prayer. Very soon people will be angry at you. Not everybody can take this kind of prayer. Very soon people will be angry at you. Not everybody can handle it. I understand. Not everybody can handle it. Understand. Amen. Amen. Now, one day my wife was praying for someone recently, and she said, "The person you offend, I will not forgive you. May you not offend it." I said, "What kind of prayer is that?" Amen. I can't say it well in English. Amen. I said, "What kind of prayer is that?" No. There are some people that should be angry at you by God's favor. Amen. He said, "And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And he made him a coat of many colors." God will give you preferential treatment. In the name of Jesus Christ. What are the keys to operating in the realms of supernatural favor? Number one, the key of new birth. The key of new birth. Who is that, please? New birth brings us into favor with God and man. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The key of favor. Number two, the key of righteousness. The key of righteousness. Righteousness brings us into favor with God, as in the case of Joseph and Daniel. And number three, the key of kingdom stewardship. The key of kingdom stewardship. Psalm 102 from 13 said, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Said, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof." Said, the time to favor has come. Why? Because the servants take pleasure. He said, "So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory." So by reason of kingdom stewardship, we position ourselves for favor from God. He said, "If you obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. You shall arise and have favor, for the time to favor has come." Because it takes pleasure. So as we push the kingdom of God in course, as we promote the kingdom of God, we are setting ourselves up for great dimension of favor. Amen. So anyone that runs after God and the instead of this kingdom never runs out of favor. He said, the young lions shall lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, those that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, they will not want any good thing, because they are seeking the Lord. They are seeking the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen. And number four, the key of sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving of our financial resources in promoting the kingdom of God procures favor. It procures favor. David said, "Because I've set my affection to the house of my God." 1 Chronicles 29:3 said, "I have of my own proper gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." He was talking about the sacrifices he made, how he gave to God gold for the things of gold and the silver for the things of silver. No wonder God gave him favor. We call Jesus the Son of David. Jesus. God made sure that Jesus, his son, came through that natural, he came naturally to the world through that lineage by reason of favor. But we saw how he gave sacrificially towards the building. God told him, "Your hands are too dirty, you will not build." He said, "Okay, I won't build, but I will give everything I can." to make sure that this building stands. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Say, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And every man, as he has proposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficient in us, may abound to every good work. And I see someone stepping into the realm of favor. Yeah. If that is you, shout aloud, amen. Yeah. Now, what are some areas of manifestation of divine favor? One, career and business breakthrough. Career and business breakthrough. Say, for they got not the land in possession, not by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you have a favor unto them. And I see someone's business experiencing favor. I see someone's career experiencing favor. In the name of Jesus. Number two, supernatural change of levels. And in the first service, we looked at the chief baker and the chief butler. You can refer to that teaching. Number three, marital settlement. Marital settlement. Whoso finds a wife, the Bible says, finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So favor brings marital settlement. Favor brings marital. He either finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor. It takes favor to marry her right. Say, so either finds a wife, find a good thing. Because you are just there, you know, you see someone, of course, naturally everybody will present him or himself or herself nice. And now you now begin to know the person, know the person, know the person. So it takes favor, it takes the favor of God to meet the someone and to and it, everything now ends up well at last. It takes the favor of God. Because the favor of God will direct you, the favor of God will instruct you, and the favor of God will make sure everything works together for your good. And I see someone receiving favor. Amen. I see someone receiving favor. Amen. Someone that is set for marital breakthrough, I pray that God will connect you to that right partner. Amen. By God's favor, you will find that right person. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Number four, or number two for this service, is supernatural fruitfulness. Supernatural fruitfulness. The angel came to Mary and said, you are highly favored. God is with you and you are blessed among women. And said, you will conceive in your womb and you will bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And I pray that by favor, someone is experiencing supernatural fruitfulness. Amen. Fruitfulness in all areas of your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Kings 4, we saw that woman that found favor. And by reason of favor, know what she has been expecting for a long time. The prophet said, according to the time of life, you will have a son, and by favor located her, and indeed she returned with her testimony of having that son. Whatever it is your desire is, I pray that favor is granting you right now. Yeah. By this time, as you return next Sunday, as we come next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of October, you are returning with your testimony of favor. Yeah. You are returning to share testimonies of favor in Jesus' mighty name. Rise to your feet, celebrate Jesus, give him praise for his word. Magnify him one more time. Bless his holy name. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we give you praise. We magnify you. Father, we bless you. Father, we celebrate you. To you be all glory. To you be all honor. To you be all adoration. Blessed be your name. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you and thank you. Blessed be your name, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Now Psalm 5 and verse 12, he said, you will bless the righteous and with favor will you compass him as in a shield. Who is the righteous? The one that is in right standing with God. And how do you get in right standing with God? You have to be on God's side, and it begins with you accepting Jesus into your heart, into your life, as Lord and Savior. You have to be born again. And what does that mean? You have to be sure of your salvation in case you are not. And in case you have done this before, and when you did made a mistake, why not? Jesus is always ready to save. Remember, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses his sin, that comes to Jesus, just like that thief by his side, he said, have grace. Have mercy and grace upon me. And someone is saying that prayer in his or her right now. I'd like to lead you in this prayer of salvation. Place your right hand on your chest right now. Either for the first time or you are rededicating your life to Jesus. Very quickly and very boldly, let's do that. Place your right hand. Place any hand of yours on your chest. And I want to pray for you right now. As you do that, lift your other hand to heaven. Lift the other hand to heaven. God bless you. Officials, there are some that are making that decision right now. If you just pass that slip to them, right there, I see two hands already. Amen and amen. While every other person is praying, and say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. From this moment, I am born again. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for newness of life. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen. For those that said that prayer, will you please just step forward? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you very closely. Church, step forward very quickly. Please step forward. Step forward. You said that prayer. Please step forward. Step forward. You said that prayer. I saw those hands. I want to pray for you very closely. Church, clap some more for Jesus. Clap some more for Jesus. More and more and more. More and more for Jesus. More and more for Jesus. Amen. Now everyone go before the Lord and pray. Begin to pray. Entreat God of the favor while they are still coming. Go ahead and entreat God of his favor. That Father, pray for his favor. Lord, favor. Favor me in all my ways. While they are still praying, I saw some hands over there. While they are still coming, every other person is praying. Entreat of his favor. Entreat of his favor right now. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. For everyone that asks, receives. Begin to make a demand. 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 Lord, favor me. He said that child without being born, not because of what he has done or not, that God chose to give him preferential treatment. Lord, favor me in all my ways. Keep praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your son. Lord, we thank you for his sins are forgiven. Thank you. Ask for his favor. Let your reign of favor fall on me. Favor on every side. Favor everywhere I go. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Lift your hands to heaven. From today, wherever you go, you will enjoy preferential treatment. The favor of the Lord will open doors for you. The favor of God will create opportunities for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, where they reject others, you will be welcomed. Where they disqualify others, you will be qualified. In the name of Jesus Christ, where they limit others, you will experience supernatural breakthrough. Where others fail, you will succeed. In the name of Jesus Christ, where others are hindered, you will be given allowance. In the name of Jesus, favor becomes your testimony. I see around about you the aura of favor. It encompasses you as a shield. Everywhere you go, you experience favor. In Jesus' mighty and precious name. Put those hands together for the Lord. Land for Jesus. Land for Jesus. And please have your seats in God's presence.